Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Yesterday's Wall Street rally seems to confirm CIO's Roaring 20s scenario while adding hopes that a Trump 2.0 means lower corporate tax rates and less business regulations. And while the stock market seemed to ignore the impact of higher tariffs and wider budget deficits, bonds and bond vigilantes these did not. So, Burkhard, thank you for dropping by today and for spending some time with our listeners and their clients. To begin, Burkhard, I would like to get your views on these two topics to start today, especially in light of the U.S. election and maybe also ahead of tomorrow's Fed press conference.
Well, thank you, Dan. Indeed, yesterday's very different messages from global stocks and bonds are hugely important to investors. To judge whether the hopes of stock investors or the fears of the bond bears will persevere is critical homework for investors today. So here are my two cents. Stocks should ultimately be right. You know, yesterday I had lots of clients ask me if now was the time to take profits, but, you know, if there's only one single message that I can share with our audience, and I know you've heard that from me throughout the year, it remains. Stay fully invested at all times. Whoever you may have voted for, remember that expansions, bull markets, and healthy labor markets are not created by presidents. All have occurred under the administrations of both parties. It's successful businesses that create prosperity. And also don't forget the anatomy of bull and bear markets. I mentioned this here before. Bull markets on average last 6.6 years, and they generate on average 19% annualized return. Bear markets on average last 1.4 years and drop on average 38%. They're fast and furious. This bull market had its second birthday only a month ago. By any measure, it still has legs to run. And remember, U.S. consumer confidence just hit the highest level in history. Corporate cash flows and private incomes are at their highest levels ever. The baby boomers, who always had outsized presence compared with other generations, grew up watching Star Trek and heard Captain Spock's benediction, live long and prosper. Well, they certainly have done so. They're the wealthiest generation in history. In the coming years, they'll be spending their record wealth of $80 trillion. That's half of all U.S. private households' net worth. Meanwhile, in the U.S. and most Western economies, most people like you and me benefit from good jobs and decent salaries. So U.S. consumers are in great shape, and companies are pouring their record earnings into record capital investments in order to raise productivity in the future. We can see all of that in the numbers. Here are just a few. The ISM non-manufacturing index just jumped to 56 points. Third quarter's revenue and earnings surprises are among the strongest since the pandemic recovery. Q3 profit margins grew again despite ever lower results from Boeing and the energy sector. 75% of all companies have positive year-on-year revenues. Most are ahead of forecast. Oh, and 68% have year-on-year earnings growth, too. That is the highest reading of the past 11 quarters.
So from hearing that, Burkhard, all sounds great, but a lot of investors just can't warm up to the continued deficit spending, ballooning government debt, and debt service payments. What's your response to these concerns of the bond vigilantes, as they're called?
Well, in fact, we do share some of their concerns. Fiscal spending does seem out of control around the rich world in particular. Aging societies, rapidly rising demand for infrastructure, healthcare, security investments, and almost no country with constitutional debt limits mean more deficit spending for years to come. I remember Maggie Thatcher, one of my heroes, famously said in the 1980s, "The problem with socialism is that ultimately you run out of other people's money." Well, ultimately, deficit spending is an enormous societal transfer of wealth from grandchildren to grandparents. Being a family father, how can I not be concerned? But then, this call today is not about future generational conflict. It's about markets today and tomorrow. I'm often reminded by Sermaina Cain's statement, rich countries can afford bad policies for surprisingly long. I think what the bond bears must realize is that fiscal deficits simply don't drive yields, except for very temporary periods. Bond yields in rich economies naturally follow inflation, not treasury auctions. That's very important. So let me repeat it. Bond yields usually follow inflation, not treasury auctions or fiscal deficits. Only sometimes, like last summer, between August and October, yields are temporarily moved by the fiscal fears of the bond vigilantes. Last year, they climbed all the way to 5%, but when the bond bears' fears didn't come to anything, they declined faster than they rose. And this time, we're bracing ourselves for something similar as last year. We just took profit on our previous EM bond overweight. And yes, we can't rule out another bond sell-off like last year. But what matters more is that lower, not higher inflation should take yields down in 2025 too. Lower for longer is the real direction of travel, to use Jerome Powell's own words.
Okay, so with that all in mind, Burkhard, the good times can roll and there will be enough buyers of our treasuries for long?
Well, absolutely, I bet you. Two more things. For one, the great privilege of King Dollar is that it soaks up liquidity from the entire world. The more the BRICS economies grow, the more they need U.S. treasuries as a store of value. All the old talk about de-dollarization remains talk, no substance. The only country which can truly de-dollarize are the United States themselves, as the cancellation of Bretton Woods in 1978 showed. But my last thought. For those who doubt that innovation kills inflation, as I maintain, I'll name just one example to make my point. In my personal view, the person who did arguably most in the fight against inflation in recent history, never worked in a central bank, I'm talking about Jeff Bezos. When Jeff Bezos founded Amazon in 1994, he revolutionized retailing and lowered consumer prices through global transparency. To this very day. In fact, the only way innovation can succeed is by making things cheaper, better, or both. That's another reason to stay invested at all times.
Well, that's good food for thought, Burkhard, this after what has been a very eventful week. So why don't we end here on this positive note for today, and do very much look forward to touching base again next week for our next conversation. Thank you again, Burkhard, for dropping by today. Appreciate it.
Likewise, and thank you for having me here as always, and have a good rest of the day. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.